Imagine going into hernia surgery only to find out you're an AFib. That's what happened to my friend Tim Rogers. His story is incredible. He was in AFib likely for years and missed all the signs and symptoms. And it was a hernia surgery that likely saved his life. I am so excited to bring you my conversation with Tim today. You'll hear him refer to me as Suzanne. That is my first name, so don't be thrown by that. Tim and I go way back, and his story is yet another example of not giving in, not giving up, being open to what's next in life. And then in his second act, he is living life wide open. Without further ado, here's my friend Tim Rogers. Welcome to the Heart Chamber, hope, inspiration, and healing. Conversations on open heart surgery. I am your host, Boots Knighton. If you are a heart patient, a caregiver, a healthcare provider, a healer, or are just looking for open-hearted living, this podcast is for you. To make sure you are in rhythm with the Heart Chamber, be sure to subscribe or follow wherever you are listening to this episode. While you are listening today, think of someone who may appreciate this information. The number one way people learn about a podcast is through a friend. Don't you want to be the reason someone you know gained this heartfelt information? And if you haven't already, follow me on Instagram, two different places, at boots.knighton or at the Heart Chamber Podcast. You can also find me on LinkedIn as well as Facebook. But enough with the directions. Without further delay, let's get to this week's episode. Let's start with how we're better than ever.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, life with AFib and even before, it was good. It just wasn't great because I never figured out why I never had any energy. 12 years ago, I can get into the gym at 5 o'clock in the morning, no problem. My automatic alarm clock would go off. I would wake up 15 minutes before I had to be there. I'd get dressed and go. Then after a while, all of a sudden, I couldn't get myself up. I would sleep through my alarm clock and I couldn't get up in the morning. And then that tied into skiing. I couldn't ski from the top of the chairlift to the bottom without stopping. Always had to catch my breath, and I started gaining weight because I didn't have the energy. And when you don't have energy, it affects your metabolism, right? So it didn't matter if I went to the gym or I worked out. I could not lose the weight, even if I was eating healthy. So it was really, really frustrating. And so I guess fast forward to right now, and the best way I can describe how I'm feeling is, and this is what I tell everybody, I'm 55 and I feel like I'm back in my 35-year-old body. And that's huge. I have more energy than I've had since I can remember.
That is the best news.
Yeah, it's incredible. I never thought in a million years, you know, I went from 194 pounds on my surgery date, and I got down as low as 163 pounds. And that's because my heart rhythm has been normal for so long. I was metabolizing, and I dropped all that weight in about three and a half months. So that made the difference. And plus, I had a cardiotherapist who kicked me into gear, and I changed my diet and what I was eating, and that also played a big factor. And as you know, once you go through open heart surgery, you don't want to go through it again. So it was a no-brainer. And ever since I've started eating healthy food and getting rid of all the processed food, the good food tastes even better now. And if I eat something that's processed, I just have to spit it out. You notice the difference. I get it now. So that completely turned my whole life around.
That is an amazing turnaround from where you were, because when we first reconnected, and for listeners, Tim and I, we first met, was it in 2004 or 2005?
It was one of those years. I can't remember.
One of those years.
I think it was 2004. It was 2004 because I was a para for 2 years and then I got hired as a classroom teacher. Yep.
Yeah. So Tim and I, we were reading paraprofessionals together in Jackson, Wyoming. And I just have so many fond memories of us that year teaming up. And then we lost touch for a while. And then our skiing brought us back together. And then our hearts brought us back together. And when I first reached out to you, when you had posted on Facebook that you were having to have heart surgery, I was like, no, not Tim. And I will never forget the message. If I could just reflect back to you, hopefully this isn't too triggering, but I will never forget the message you sent to me. It was filled with despair, fear, extreme depression, so much anger. So much of your life was hanging in the balance, and you were navigating a divorce. You were navigating your surgery being denied by insurance. And it's just amazing. And we will get to all of that in a second, but it's just so amazing to now see you on the other side and for you to just start off with this amazing report. And then just for all listeners out there, just know that like in your darkest, hardest days, you will get through it. It sucks. Heart surgery sucks. The diagnosis, navigating insurance, the recovery, all of it sucks. And then you also have relationships around you. And I know many people out there who don't have supportive partners and a really hard time. But listen to how Tim is doing now. And it's just, my heart is just so joyful for you. It's just such a testament to the human spirit. It really is. So I want to go back to how this all started. So you had mentioned you were out of breath, you couldn't ski a full run, you had gained weight. Like, how many years ago was it like really becoming noticeable? And I'm also interested in how you found out it was AFib.
It's really interesting because, you know, I'm a father of two incredible girls, 15 and 17, married for 20 years. I attributed like my lack of energy to being always busy. I just thought I was tired because I was working two jobs. I was teaching second graders, teaching out of the village, being a dad, being a husband. And I thought that was just life, right? So I ended up having a pretty bad hernia. And this was probably 5 years ago. And so during the summer, they got me on the operating table. And the minute they hooked me up to the heart monitor, one of the nurses looked up and said, "Get him off the table. He's an AFib." That's the first time I knew I had heart issues. So they sent me straight to Dr. Mullen's office, put me on metoprolol, and I had my surgery the next day. So to make a long story short, so I felt okay after the surgery and feeling okay. I didn't have all my energy back, but I was feeling a little bit better because of the metoprolol. And then January 1st of 2021, I came down with COVID and it wiped me out. I never recovered from it. I lost so much energy, I couldn't understand why. I went back to Dr. Mullen and he's like, "You're an AFib." And I was in an AFib for 24 hours a day. And he's like, "I have no idea how long you've been in AFib 24 hours a day, but you're in it." And so that's where my story really begins. You know, I had to do the stress test. I was in AFib the entire time. The technician was like, "I can't believe you're doing this and you're in full AFib." It scared me so much. I'm an avid backpacker in the summer. I'm like, I can't go up there when I'm like this. So I stopped backpacking, you know, then it starts affecting the rest of your life, right? So Dr. Mullen tried different medications to put it in check. So it was like late October, early November, he decided, okay, we got to do something about this. So he ended up doing 3 cardio versions on me, and they helped for a couple days. And even though I was fully medicated, I was on amiodarone, which is like the strongest heart medication you could take for AFib. And I would just go right back into AFib.
And can you walk us through what a cardioversion is for listeners who may not understand?
So a cardioversion is they knock you out for literally 45 seconds. They have these pads. Well, think about when somebody goes into cardiac arrest and they try to revive you, right? They electrocute your heart. So they're basically doing that with me without the paddles. They put these patches in, and so they shoot electricity into me to knock down those electrical issues that are putting my heart in an irregular heart rhythm.
Does it hurt at all? Like, I know you're knocked out, but do you feel it when you wake up?
No, not really. I mean, you have red marks from the heat of it, but no, it was not a big deal. But I know a lot of people who it has worked for, but in my case, it didn't. So that's when I got the referral to Dr. Bunch, who's amazing. He's an electrophysiologist down in Salt Lake. And then he performed an ablation December of 2022. And so after about 34 days, I went back into AFib again. My heart went back into that irregular heart rhythm. But when you have an ablation, you have this 3-month period, because when they go in through your femoral artery and burn scar the outside of your heart to kill those, you know, electrical issues, after 3 months, I just kept going back into AFib. And then it just routinely just got worse and worse and worse. And then 2023, that's when I had my Mays surgery. Ablation didn't work. Dr. Bunch then referred me to Dr. Sharma, who is a true pro at this. And he works out of University of Utah Medical Center. And so the Mays surgery is where they do open heart surgery, and he burn scars the exterior of your heart. And then he had to clip an appendage too, because you might as well do that, to close that off so I'm less susceptible of getting blood clots. Because when you're in AFib, you're 5 times greater to have a stroke than just a normal person.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So wait a minute, what did they clip?
Just the top appendage at the top of your heart. Because the thing is, what happens when you have an irregular heart rhythm, think about your blood flow. It stops and goes and stops and goes. And so what happens is when it gets up into your arteries, it gets stuck there. And then it coagulates, and then, it turns into a clot, and then, boom, you have a stroke. For those people out there, listen to your body and listen to the doctors. If you feel anything with your heart, if you're feeling fatigued for a long amount of time, an EKG literally takes 2 minutes, and they will know right away, and it's not going to cost you a bunch of money. I wish I would have listened to my body years ago, and that hopefully would have been avoided, but everybody's body chemistry is different.
Right. And I can so relate to, I wish I had listened to my body, because especially you and I, skiers, athletes in general, teachers, going 100 miles a minute like we do here in the Tetons, it makes no sense that either of us would have heart issues, right?
And athletes are really susceptible of irregular heart rhythms. But the thing is, they have the opposite effect. Their heart rates go too low. Mine was too high. I would go from 94 beats per minute to 160 beats per minute, down to 140 beats per minute. So you can imagine what's happening to your body. Because if you don't have the blood flow, you don't have the oxygen to go with it. So I was constantly lightheaded. I was dizzy. I would get vertigo when I was driving. I mean, it was scary. I had to drive myself to the ER 3 times because I didn't know what was happening to me. So that was a wake-up call. Yeah. Not fun.
No. Okay. So that was like the 10,000 foot view of the last few years. Let's push our sleeves up a little. So you had those 3 cardioversions, like you said, and then the ablation. And then it just didn't work and you needed the maze. But walk us through between the ablation and the maze, the actual hell you entered, because it seemed like a version of hell from the outside. And that's just me as your friend being like so upset for you.
And so with my divorce, I'm not going to go into all the details. No one needs to know that. But the hardest part was not getting that support. You know, that's why I had to drive myself 3 times to the ER, being told all you do is sleep. There's a reason why I'm sleeping, because I don't have any energy. It was probably one of the toughest years I've ever had, because what happened when you go through a divorce, that's just instant stress. And stress is what can put you in AFib as well. And that was probably the last thing I ever needed. But the one thing that helped me keep my sanity were my close friendships. I've been in this valley for 31 years, and they came to the rescue for me. You know, I posted everything on Facebook. I told my story, and I have an army of people that backed me up and held me up and kept me going. And that is a big reason. Their actions affected my actions, and I went into it a lot more positive than I would have without it.
I got to watch that unfold on Facebook, and it was so beautiful.
I mean, the first time I was like maybe a month and a half out after my maze, and then I hiked up Josie's Ridge. My cardiotherapist wasn't pleased, but she said, do half of it. And I'm like, forget that. I feel great. I'm going to go to the top. And I felt great. And I walked down, and I wasn't even sore the next morning. So, hey, there we go.
Incredible. And so the big message I'm hearing, or the big takeaway, is you have to be willing to ask for help. You have to be willing to be vulnerable and say, I am not okay. I need love and support. And then you have to be willing to receive it. I mean, those are two necessary steps, like three steps: being willing to be seen, asking for help, and then receiving it.
Yeah. I mean, a certain someone in my life wasn't there. So I had to rely on my friendships on Facebook and just my regular friends at school and whatnot. It blew my mind away. And I remember, because I was sending posts about the surgery and everybody was just giving me all the positive vibes. You're going to come out of this great and you're going to do great. It wasn't until I hiked Josie's Ridge and I made that post and everybody went crazy. I didn't think I was going to be able to do it. And I made a prior post to my surgery about climbing that mountain. I can't wait to reach my next peak because I love climbing. I love backpacking. I love being in the mountains. And that was the first thing I did. I reached my first goal and reached the top of Josie's Ridge. That really got me going and getting that positive feedback from everybody.
Yeah. And for listeners who have not been to Jackson, Wyoming, Josie's Ridge is a beloved hike that's really steep, but it's like everybody that lives in the town of Jackson, it's like they're almost their daily hike. And it really is an incredible feat that Tim accomplished right after having surgery. So another big hurdle, so you had the divorce going on, but the other thing was getting the surgery approved and it getting, you know, yanked out from underneath you. You're also an elementary school teacher. You know, it's like, can you walk us through that and how you navigated that? Because I hear from listeners often about insurance trauma. Like, it's literally a trauma working with insurance. So how did you prevail?
So this is where life was really tough for me. Here I was dealing with a divorce. The school district that I work for, we had Blue Cross Blue Shield for over 20 years. And then they, you know, it got more expensive. And so they decided to go to another provider. And I'm not going to mention the provider. I'm not going to throw all this stuff out there. But they got this new provider. So I had another surgery scheduled for July 7th. But the problem is this new provider started on July 1st. So a day before I was supposed to drive down to Salt Lake and have this other least invasive surgery, they denied me. And so my goal was to be back in my classroom. I couldn't go back into my classroom unless I had a clean bill of health. And so last school year, my AFib was so bad, I missed approximately 4 months of the school year. I had to go on an FMLA twice. I missed the end of the school year with my kids. I could not function in my classroom. That's how bad I was. I mean, my heart was not cooperating. And so when I got that first denial, that crushed me. All I kept thinking about is, how am I going to get back into my classroom? So my surgeon and I brainstormed, and he's like, this is when he came up with the May surgery, since they denied this one because this provider keeps saying that everything's experimental, everything. And so we scheduled it for August 25th. So what happened was, we didn't hear anything from them. You know, they put in the order, and it was literally 7 days before I was going to go to Salt Lake for my surgery, and this provider denied it. I about flipped out. To backtrack, so when I get denied the first time, I went on Facebook because I had to put it out there. You know, it's like, this is not right. This is a surgery I had to have in order to go back to work. And all I kept thinking is, why don't they want me to go back to work? If I don't have this surgery, I'm going to be on medication for the rest of my life, and I'm going to be going in AFib for the rest of my life, and my chances of having a stroke are great. That's a lot of stress and a lot to handle. So what ended up happening, and this is one of the great things about Facebook, I have a very good friend who happened to be a lawyer, and I sat down with him one day, and we talked about it, and he helped me draft a letter, which we sent off to the school district and to the provider. And literally an hour after that, I got approved. And it's like, so I had to get a lawyer involved.
Wow.
So I could get the surgery, so I could get back to work. This should never happen. And I'm not the only one that's been through this. I've heard horror stories from other people as well. And this is what's broken in our country, is our insurance coverage. It's for profit now. That's my take on it, because they focus on the healthy people because that's where they get their money. But when it comes to people like us, where we have to have a certain surgery to be able to function and live on, move on with their lives, they're just saying, hey, this part of the surgery is experimental. I'm sorry. And thankfully, my surgeon down in Salt Lake chewed out this so-called, these specialists that work for this provider, and they're the ones making the decisions on whether or not my surgery is experimental or not, and chewed them out and said, this is not okay. My client, my person who I need to get going, he needs the surgery or he's not going to function. And then they finally approved it that way. Why? I mean,
and then look at you now. I mean, you should write them a letter and be like, by the way, this is what the surgery has done for me.
I should do that. Actually, I'd rather call them in person to say that, because they probably look at my letter and just toss it in the mail or trash anyway.
Or send them this podcast, send them this episode.
Yeah, you're right. I probably should. Without that surgery, I would not be in my classroom, because this surgeon, this electrophysiologist, because he only specializes on the outside of the heart, he is booked out months. If they kept that denial, first of all, I would have lost my job because of my FMLA. All my sick days were gone. And I have no sick days left. If I get sick and have to take a day off, I get my pay docked. It's like, and I can't have that. So like last week, I had to work sick. So something's wrong with the system. This was not my fault. You know, it's like, this is something I had to have, and there needs to be some changes, because any extra stress, I feel like I'm going to go back into AFib. I'm that paranoid. You know what I mean? Because I had it for so long. My surgeons think I've been in AFib for probably 10 years and didn't feel it until I got older. And so really frustrating. That mixed in with the divorce was probably one of the lowest points of my life. But like I said, my friends were there to help pick me up. So I never hit rock bottom.
And that's the beautiful thing about the community we live in.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
We won the lottery, didn't we?
We did.
This community.
It's a very generous community. And it's a community where everybody's got each other's back.
Yeah. So you get the surgery. I remember when you had your surgery, I was checking in with you and it was rough the first little bit, but then you had a beautiful recovery. But walk us through what your experience was like in the hospital at U of U. And U of U is University of Utah.
Yeah, the medical center there. Yep, correct. Well, first of all, that's a first-class hospital. The minute you walk in there, people are so friendly. They want to help you out. They get you pointed in the right direction, and they're as professional as you can get. This place blew me away. No one there had a bad attitude. No one was giving you attitude. They just wanted what was best for me, and I got that from them. But as far as the actual surgery, you know, when I listened to your TED Talk, I really connected with that. Because before they put you under, right, and you're in that operating room, you got a lot of stuff going through your head because we've never been through open heart surgery before. It's pretty scary. And you start thinking about your own mortality, right? And then what popped in my head, instead of like freaking myself out, I thought about all those responses to the post on Facebook that I put out and all these people cheering for me. I wasn't going to give up and I didn't give up, right? I fought through it. You know, I mean, the surgery, waking up is hard. There's nothing like waking up and having someone pull a tube out of you while you're awake. That was miserable. I don't want to go through
it. It's the worst.
It is the worst. That's another reason why I changed my diet. I don't want to go through that again. That will change your mind instantly. But the care I received was absolutely amazing. And the thing is, my motivation was there. And it wasn't internal. It was from all of you. All that strength entered me. And I'm being serious. When the physical therapist first came in, he's like, this is the first day he wanted me to walk. And I had tubes hanging out of me. I was terrified. But the funny thing is, it's like, I forgot how to walk. You remember that feeling like taking your first step and you're like, I was like walking on my heels. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. It was just an odd experience. But then I just kept thinking about, like I said, all these positive, helpful people wanting the best for me posts. And that's what motivated me. I just kept going, you know, and I'd walk whatever, how many feet they wanted me the first day. And then I would double it the next day. Then I'd triple it the next day. And I worked so hard, I actually got released from the hospital 2 days earlier than I should have been.
Of course you did.
Yeah, we're mountain people, right?
Yeah.
But if I didn't have that support and, you know, and going through this divorce, I would have been in a different place mentally, you know? So that's why I say, don't do it alone. As hard as life gets, you got to hang on to those good friends of yours. Cause you know what? They're going to have your back. They're going to give you the support that you need and they're going to help lift you up. And if anything happens to my friends, I'm going to be right there for them, just like they did with me. I'm never going to forget it. I mean, people say, how did you recover so fast? And it's like, my mindset.
Oh, it's everything.
Posting all that stuff on Facebook, it like forced me to come up with this mindset. It's like, okay, I'm getting all this positive feedback. Now I got to go do it. I got to go hike up Josie's Ridge. And I know I can do it. And I did it.
How long was it between the heart surgery and Josie's Ridge? I forget.
I think it was like a month and a half, almost 2 months, in between a month and a half and 2 months. I know.
Wow.
I didn't tell Dr. Sharma down in Salt Lake, though. I just told my cardiophysiologist. So I don't know if he would have been too happy with me. So listen to your doctor.
Well, 6 weeks after my open heart surgery, we went down to Salt Lake for my checkup, and then we kept going down to Escalante, and I went on two massive hikes down there because my surgeon just said, go live my best life. And so Jason and I were like, okay. So we went to Escalante and went on way too big of two hikes. The first one was okay, but then I didn't give myself enough rest. And then we went on like this monster hike, and then I set myself back. So be careful.
Well, when I had my knee replacement 7 years ago, I did the same thing. My surgeon said, if you're going to ride your bike, no more than a mile. I felt so good. I read 5 miles and set myself back 2 weeks. And the one thing I did forget to tell you. So throughout my recovery, the day I got back into Jackson, the day I got back into my place, one of my teaching partners, who is absolutely amazing, set up a meal train for me. And so I was blown away by how many teachers in our school district dropped off dinner for me. And I'm forever grateful for all of them because I couldn't lift anything over 8 pounds for 8 weeks. I can't use this word enough. I'm just forever grateful for everybody that was involved in helping. I mean, even dropping a meal off to me made a huge difference. The sense of community here is amazing.
Yeah, it's the comfort of someone else thinking through a meal for you than actually bringing it to you and like stopping in for a visit. It is just amazing what that does for mind, body, soul.
And just having the conversations with them, you know, it was just so uplifting. It's just amazing that so many of them wanted to help me. I never would have guessed that in a million years. You know what I mean? But that's the place where we live. We're lucky.
Let's switch gears a little and talk about your cardiotherapist. You mentioned the cardiotherapist inspired you to change your diet, but I want to talk about that. And then also, how soon was it that you started working with the cardiotherapist after your heart surgery?
It was probably 6 weeks, just because I had to have the surgery itself heal up. The minute I start working with her, like the first day, she's not a physical therapist, right? She is focused on my heart, you know, and the actual surgery. And the really neat thing is, like, when I get on the treadmill, she's checking all my vitals. So she knows where I'm at. And so the first day I got on the treadmill was because all I had been able to do is just walk. You know, I mean, part of my routine was walking 2 to 3 miles every day. And since I live in town, I would hit every fly shop in Jackson and I just have the best conversations with people. It was great. So that's how I got my exercise.
And fly shop meaning not every listener is going to understand that, Tim. Tim is an avid fisherman. He may have a fishing problem.
Yeah, I do.
So he was going to all the fly shops in Jackson, and there's many of them. So yes, just needed to clarify that.
And that was another support system for me as well, because it took my mind off everything that's been happening in my life. You know, I had to miss the first 2 months of school, and so I tie flies. And if anybody needs any flies, I got more than enough. I went a little berserk, but it was a good way to take up some time and bring him to the shop and show everybody. So yeah, it's just one more tool to help me through this difficult time.
So she got you started. How long did you work with her, the therapist?
For probably 2 months. First of all, she would ask me, what do you want to get out of this? Where do you want to get back to? And I'm like, I just want to feel normal again. You forget what normal feels like. You know, I had no energy for so many years. It's like, I don't know what normal is. So after the first day, she gave me a list of all these different foods. They're called nourish bowls. And so I looked at the list and I'm like, because like I'm a former chef at Stiegler's for 10 years. So I'm like, all right, I could try this out. You know, I mean, I didn't eat too unhealthy, but yeah, I mean, I was eating processed foods and stuff like that. But she's like, try this for like a month and I want to see what happens. And so after about 2 weeks, because this is where I could, like at home, I could start doing more. and I can start riding a bike. And then being on the treadmill during that time with her, after about 2 weeks, I lost like 8 pounds. So I'd eat half of my Nourish bowl for lunch, and I'd eat the rest of it for dinner. And then for breakfast, I'd have like a bowl of Cheerios with milk and Greek yogurt. And like snacks, I'd snack on just raw almonds. I mean, this is the healthiest I've eaten ever, but it made a difference. So once the incision healed all the way, then my brain went to, okay, I'm in the gym. I can start getting on the elliptical and the treadmill and walking and stuff like that. And I just got after it. I was in that gym every day. And between the healthy diet now and the exercise, I burned off so much fat so fast. It was astounding. I mean, all of a sudden people were coming up to me going, "You look different." They would notice how much weight I dropped in so little time. And all it was changing my diet and good exercise. So then I came up with the system. Once I got the full go, I can do weights, I can do anything. So I did all my cardio in the morning. And then around 5 p.m., I'd eat a light snack. And then I would work on the resistance bands, and I'd work on weights, and I would do push-ups and sit-ups and crunches and planks. And that, after like a month of that straight, I really started noticing a change in my whole body. And guess what that does to your mind, right? It felt so good. I mean, I'm healthier than I've probably been in my entire life. My dad, when he'd take us on trips when I was younger, he'd fill a grocery bag with ho-hos, ding-dongs, Twinkies, every imaginable food that would kill you, you know? And now I'm eating the healthiest food possible. And so it's an amazing feeling. So everybody out there who's listening, I know it's hard to connect because everybody's experiences are different with heart issues, but your health and your nutrition, you got to think about it, because when you connect those dots and you start doing the right things, you're doing so much better for your body. You might end up avoiding surgery, right? Heart surgery. I mean, my cholesterol was through the roof and now it's low. So I'm not on cholesterol medicine anymore. Nola Peacock, who was working with me, she was amazing. She put me on the treadmill and she would just crank it up. And the harder I go, she's like, "Keep going, keep going." And then she would knock it down a little bit and she would look at my vitals and say, "Your vitals are perfect." My heart rate, I mean, everything, my blood pressure, everything was where it should have been. Before the surgery, everybody was like, "You need to change because like your blood pressure is hot, too high, you know, this and that." It was my mindset back then. I'm tired, but you know what? This bad food tastes better. You know what I mean? It's like comfort food. But I was doing myself injustice because I was making it worse, my heart issues. So I learned a lot from this experience. It's changed my life forever. Let's just put it that way. And like you said, it does feel like a miracle because I never thought I could feel this good again. So can I tell one story?
Please.
So to all those listeners out there, I don't know how many of you are skiers. So about 3 weeks ago, I went out to the village. I didn't have to work. I got up early and I thought, okay, I'm going to go ski a tram. So the vertical feet's 4,139 vertical feet from the tram down to the base. So I ski. So I go to the top of the tram. I ski all the way down to the bottom without stopping. And I'm like, wow, that was kind of fun. So I ended up doing that 8 more times in a row. I just did laps after lap after lap, top to bottom without stopping. Then I went on the Bridger gondola twice in a row. So to make a long story short, I ended up skiing over 35,000 vertical feet in just 10 runs or 36 miles. I never thought in a trillion years I could do anything like that. That's what kind of shape I'm in now. I'm the complete opposite of where I was before my surgery.
And we locals call it the Village, but it's Jackson Hole Mountain Resort, which is the big one, right? Like, it is such an incredible feat to be able to say that. Because I know a lot of people who have not had heart surgery who cannot do that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's like I said, it does feel like a miracle happened. I mean, I was shocked. I was going to do one more run. Then I'm like, all right, I know I'm 55 and I feel like I'm back in my 35-year-old body, but I can't bite off more than I can chew.
But I understand that feeling. Like, when you realize you're going to live, you're going to be okay, you're actually going to be better than okay, dare I say it, even thrive. It is so hard not to go hog wild. I don't know if you feel the same way. Tell me how this lands for you. But for me, I wouldn't trade my heart experience for anything. And the reason why I say that, and some people look at me like I have three heads when I say that. And I mean, it was not fun. It was the opposite of it. But the perspective I've gotten from it and how much more I cherish life now. And on those really good days when I'm feeling amazing, when I don't currently have a broken leg, it is just amazing when you just know that your heart is getting the oxygen it needs and it's in the right rhythm. There's just nothing like it. And for those out there who don't have a heart issue, it's hard for them to understand. But you know, you and I, we don't get a day off from our hearts. And so when it's on and we're like, large and in charge, it is just the best feeling in the world.
Absolutely. You know, and I can definitely relate to that. You know, the way I look at it, it was a blessing in disguise for me. If I didn't have that hernia, I would have had no idea it was an AFib. I mean, I could have had a blood clot by now, but I would have never thought of my heart and having it being AFib. I was just tired because of life. Life was making me tired. So that's what I'm saying. What I've learned is I listen to my whole body now. If I feel anything, if I feel like my heart's starting to race, I stop. That means I'm overdoing it, right? You got to listen to your body. And like I said, if you feel any flutter in your heart, if you feel exhausted, you know, I've been in meetings with other teachers and they'll be like, yeah, I felt that. And I'm like, have you been to a cardiologist yet? And they're like, no. And I'm like, okay, you're doing the same thing that I did. And look where I ended up. I'm stronger now than I've ever been. And so you got to take care of yourself. The doctors are there for a reason. These surgeons are amazing. They know what they're doing and you can trust them. I know open heart surgery is a scary thing to think of. Suzanne and I both thought the same things. We were pretty terrified about going through it. But the end product is we're as good as new, aren't we?
Yeah. A little banged up.
You've got to get your leg healed up. A little banged up, yeah. But our hearts are functioning, and that's the good feeling.
Yeah. Well, Tim, thank you so much for spending an afternoon after you've taught all day with me and the listeners of the Heart Chamber podcast. And I can hardly wait to see where your heart takes you next.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I appreciate you having me on, Suzanne. And for those of you who've been listening, you know, I hope you got something out of this because I was pretty ignorant back in those days and didn't think about my health, but I'm a health nut now. So get after it. So we need to go ski next winter when you're ready. Okay.
Actually, I can ski in April.
Oh, there we go. We'll take a run down to you or not.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to hold you to it.
Okay. You got it. All right. Thank you, Suzanne.
Thank you for sharing a few heartbeats of your day with me today. Please be sure to follow or subscribe to this podcast wherever you are listening. Share with a friend who will value what we discussed. Go to either Apple Podcasts and write us a review or mark those stars on Spotify. I read these and your feedback is so encouraging and it also helps others find this podcast. Also, please feel free to drop me a note at boots@theheartchamberpodcast.com. I truly want to know how you're doing and if this podcast has been a source of hope, inspiration and healing for you. Again, I am your host, Boots Knighton, and thanks for listening. Be sure to tune in next Tuesday for another episode of The Heart Chamber.